Blog Talk Radio.
Remember Mark Nolte, Texas announcer, professional wrestling announcer, and historian, wrestling classic board, as he passed away this week. This is the Pro Wrestling Torch live cast for Friday, February the 12th, 2016. I'm Bruce Mitchell, senior Torch columnist. Of course, there's a lot to talk about today with today and this week with all the news that came through. Wade Keller and I just spent an hour talking about, of course, Daniel Bryan and his retirement and the ramifications of that for professional wrestling and for sports culture and the reasons why and all that. Let's go to our co-host, our friend Travis Bryant. Travis, how are you doing on this Friday?
Doing all right, Bruce. What's happening, live cast audience? What up?
Just a lot of news this week. And, you know, Wade and I know people have been talking about and writing about, you know, Daniel Bryan. And I think, you know, even on Friday, recording this show, I mean, you know, news moves so fast, but I think that it was worth, you know, really delving into to Bryan. It's a good show, so hopefully people get the chance to hear it. PWTorch.com/govip to get the particulars of how to subscribe. But you know, do you think we'll see Daniel Bryan? I mean, this is a lot of what we talked about. Do you think we'll see Daniel Bryan wrestle again, Travis?
No, my gut tells me no.
Yeah, I agree. I think that once he went on with Coach on ESPN and talked about the seizures, I think that it's going to be hard to justify getting into the ring.
I just mean once some time and distance, more than it's already been, you know, a year and a half going on 2 years almost, since this became a real problem, obvious problem. I think just when he gets some time and some separation where it's like over, not time and separation where he's still, like he said, working his butt off, at least like physically, to keep himself fit and in shape to come back at a moment's notice. Once that pressure's gone or that reality's gone, and you get a year or two pass and you're literally just living your life, who knows what Bree's next move is, if they just go away, why? It just could be, no, this is my family, I'm starting a family, I'm done with wrestling. At least on that level, I said no. We'll never see him wrestle. I maybe down the line, and by down the line I mean in 4 years, 3 or 4 years. Does he do something for Ring of Honor? Come back, do an angle? Maybe, but I think no. I think he's taking his last bump.
You know, after the rush, the adrenaline rush, and the gratitude of what he saw Monday night, now comes the adjustment of, you know, what do you do? Where do you find something that you're that passionate about to carry over in the rest of your life? You know, family, starting a family and all that. I suspect he's going to find it. And I think we'll see him around professional wrestling. Wade and I talked about, WWE Hall of Fame possibilities and all that. And we really didn't talk about what he does for WWE next, but,
the thing is, to me, the things he has always, or at least in this, you know, as an adult and learning things and traveling and meeting and, you know, learning about new cultures and all kinds of stuff, that wrestling before and with WWE has taught him, I think he can now, being financially secure and the life he's probably going to lead as far as expenses, and he's not, I doubt he's going to have some extraordinary life where he needs to have income coming in all the time at a high level. He can now do the things that he, you know, I've always wanted to go to Machu Picchu. Like, well, now he can go to Machu Picchu and take that hike, take that vertical you know, climb up that mountain and do the whole thing. And, you know, all the things that a guy like, we can imagine a guy like Daniel Bryan, excuse me, has wanted to do and wanted to see, he can now just do it. Realizes that, if not that he hasn't, but when he actually, he had, what he hasn't done is live it. When he lives that and goes, I can get up when I want, go wherever I want on the planet, I can afford it, and yeah, I want to do those things. I want to go back to school for a philosophy degree, just because that's always been my thing, well, you know, whatever, something like that.
And, you know, he has his interest in the causes that he's, and he's got a certain amount of celebrity that he can bring to bear on that, and I suspect we'll see. I do think that we're going to see Nikki Bella, but we're not going to see Brie Bella anywhere near as much. I mean, as the family starts, that doesn't, you know.
I would not be surprised, Bruce, if in 2030, in 15 years, Brian's a legitimate professor at some local college in Washington, in Aberdeen U, and he teaches some literature class.
Yeah, could be.
The tweed jacket, the elbow pads, and everything.
Yeah. You know, where does he stand in your estimation as far as this generation of wrestlers? Or where does he stand as an all time with wrestling?
All time, we asked this question on Wednesday's East Coast Cast. Is, you know, top 10, top 25, or top 50? And I think someone, you know, I think you could make an argument for top 25. But he's definitely top 50, one of those kind of things. Like maybe 26, but I wouldn't be mad if he's, you know, 42 either.
So that's all time?
Yeah.
Well, what about in his era? What about in this era, I guess, since this is his era?
He's one of the best. He's top five.
Yeah, one of the things that I talked with Wade about was I think he's been very influential. I think that he's opened the door, not shoved it completely open, but he's opened the door for his size wrestler, for his type of wrestler to be looked at in WWE. I think NXT very much is a reflection of Daniel Bryan. And I also, you know, and I also think that,
like,
right.
You don't have to be a meathead, douchebag kind of guy to be, not that they're all, you know, but, you know, stereotypes are a thing. You can be a legit super nice guy. Not that there aren't super nice guys, but just overtly where everybody, you can be a super nice guy and thrive and be small and be a vegan with no TV and that kind of thing. That's what I mean with personality, not literally his on-air character. I mean how his personality behind the scenes and interacting with management and Vince McMahon and how he failed that test about, you know, when they said, how much does money mean to you? And they said he was all kinds of antisocial and you know, just really demeaned him because those tests are skewed and geared towards, you know, people who, you know, capitalists kind of thought it, get mine, Jack, kind of attitude. And when he goes against that, you know, you fail something like that, and how does that make Vince McMahon and those kinds of people feel? So that's what I mean with personality, not just on air what we see.
Yeah, that's you know, I think one of the things we saw that you read his book and kind of how he presents himself that even he didn't understand was, you know, he had the passion and the knowledge and the study and the athletic ability and the work drive to put together that stuff in the ring. But beyond that, and it was another example Monday night, he did have that it factor. He was easily relatable for a majority of fans that he could, that, you know, you watch that and it was, you know, it was a great performance. I mean, and part of what made it great was just that it was real, that he comes across whatever kind of pro wrestling that he's in, that he's doing, what he's doing and how he's trying to do it and how he's trying to succeed comes across as real in a way that the top wrestling stars do. I think that was, a big part of this. And there's that lesson there, but I also, I just, I don't know. I mean, I've been going to not just major league wrestling shows, but as you do this stuff, you go to these independent shows, and the change in independent wrestling, I think he's one of the leaders in that too, that it became, you know, that this was an art in an art sense for him, not just an art in a, there's an art in separating the mark from his money sense that's made for great performances. I still argue that makes for the best performance, but that you see people that are professional and, you know, dedicated in their training and dedicated in their learning, and they're not even thinking, they're hoping that they make it to the main money, but they're not even thinking they're going to, that they understand that there's they understand there's just not very many jobs in this, and they do it as their hobby, or they do it as their art. And as part of their social life revolves around it. Their friends are doing it too, in some way, shape, or form. And I think that goes back to him too. And you know, there's people that come out of that and make it to NXT and make it to WWE and make it to Ring of Honor and make it to TNA that are part of that culture.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't get the chance to talk with Wade about it, but I know that we'll do a second hour of the Bruce Mitchell audio show for VIP members. This weekend and tomorrow at some point. But Titus O'Neil and what happened with Titus O'Neil, I haven't, what do you think? I mean, he's Titus O'Neil, they're going back, you know, after Daniel Bryan, the wrestlers and this man are going back. And now, you know, the report is that, O'Neil was a ladies first situation that he grabbed Vince McMahon. So the Stephanie McMahon, huh?
No, I was just co-signing, yes.
Yeah, that he grabbed Vince McMahon so that Stephanie McMahon could step in front of him, and McMahon then shoved him. What's your take on, you know, 90 days, 60 days of suspension?
It is one of the most absurd things and just baffling. I mean, baffling that there has to be something to this beyond the optics that I guess Vince is just like, well, why? Okay, if that's a terrible thing to do, to grab my arm on camera, how isn't it like double at least worse to then shove that person? You worried about optics, you just made it screwed double, 10 times worse. Why would you? And even making it 10 times worse, that could have just been it. And handled it completely in-house. People kind of noticed it. What was that? But a lot of people wrote it off as horseplay. Wade and Jason, their immediate thoughts was that, because Wade didn't catch it. Jason saw it and thought, well, that was weird. But then moved immediately on. Wade didn't see it at all. Or just he missed it, I think, entirely. So when the callers brought it up, they kind of just, you know, and then in an after show, they Zabruder filmed it, and he's like, oh, yeah, Stephanie's clapping, Triple H is kind of smiling, and Vince looks to have a grin on his face. And then they was like, oh, this has just been horseplay. And then I'm listening to that, obviously, the next morning, and the story had broken. and I was just, I'm just baffled. It's really, really what comes to mind is just how, why, what? There has to be more to this, Bruce. Has to. 60 days? That's the fact that you dropped it to 60, that makes it so much worse. You shouldn't miss a week. And then you made him come in Tuesday to tell him go home. Like, I couldn't even get a call, or I could have just caught a plane straight home or something. And I like how Titus is handling this. Just, you know, I got nothing to say bashing or anything. Not that he would, but he's just retreated to his faith. I don't want to use it like it's a negative, but just kind of wrapped himself sort of in positive, sort of faith-based positivity. And taking the high road. The whole thing is baffling. I have no. Vince is the biggest friggin' baby. Like, what a terrible person to work for. What an awful, awful boss. Just terrible. I don't understand how. I mean, he's a sociopath. Like, I know that's really strong, super strong language for somebody that not only doesn't know him, but it's not like I've covered this industry for 25 years, blah, 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 and had this super insight. What a scum! What a scumbag. What a terrible boss to have to answer to and deal with so intimately, like how the wrestlers, you know, are always together and the way just how it's set up. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I think you hit on something kind of early on as you were talking about it, which was Titus O'Neil's actions created a circumstance where Vince McMahon reacted in public on camera in a way that WWE was not comfortable with, that people seeing. And because of that, Titus O'Neil was blamed for it. And you know, he did create that situation by grabbing the guy. And the man is 70 years old, and he's who he is. And I think that was part of it. The people that you know, they're always talking about ever since the Vince Russo era or whatever it is, that, you know, pulling back the curtain. Well, the curtain got pulled back a little bit in a way that, you know, just in a natural way, that shove that they weren't that happy with, you know. And there's kind of reports that Titus O'Neil has put his foot in his mouth. And when I talk about that, I mean, as far as WWE culture goes, and that's such an interesting culture and it's such a, you know,
well, apparently, Teddy Long has said that on record that Titus O'Neil is too, quote unquote, too playful. But also, Vince is the guy that, you know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, was, you know, flipping off fans and trying to hide it. That got caught on camera. Where's his suspension? What a scumbag.
He's a McMahon. McMahon's came down from the heavens to give you your entertainment. They are judged by you and I are mere mortals. They are McMahons. They are it's more than wrestling royalty. I mean, their family invented sports entertainment, and they give it to you. And who are we to judge? Which kind of goes against the last 25 years of my life. But still, who are we to judge?
The people who are making him, you know, millionaire, 100 millionaire. That's who we are to judge.
Yeah. So, you know, it's and I think that Titus O'Neil plays an important part in a role in WWE that goes beyond having kind of cruddy 3-minute matches, and it's you know, that he's.
And what's been the response to this? It's all pro Titus celebrities, like C level and B level celebrities, but still people coming out to Twitter makes everybody a celebrity. So people coming out like, what the hell? Batista, like, ask for your release, Holmes. I thought before I saw the Batista too, I thought, what if Titus just goes, well, I don't need this. Like, what does he make? We were talking about this on Wednesday. Like, what's he make on his downside? 150, 200 grand a year, maybe? He's not getting a merchandise check. He's not getting extra, you know, so you just imagine
Let's talk for a second about Batista. Batista coming out and saying what he said, you know, Batista's in that I don't care what WWE thinks, and he and Titus O'Neil are close. They're friends.
Sure. No, and I didn't know that. I found out that because of that tweet they explained to me.
Yeah. And
people explained to me. Yeah.
And Dave Batista, you know, Dave Batista has, you know, is set.
Is Dave Batista willing to go at his back financially, you know, like, you know, are you willing to make some pitches to, you know, some directors or some people, industry people? You know, can you get him a villain's role on the next thing? No? Then, you know, I get the sentiment. I thought the same thing, like, man, what if he just goes, you know, screw this. These people treat me like garbage. You know? But, you know, unless Batista's going to go that far, he's got, you know, you got to, there's a... leave, man. I'd ask for my release. Like, yeah, well, you could.
Yeah. So, that's fair. You ready to take some phone calls?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Let's go to your friend, Travis Scott from New Jersey. Scott, it's cold out here.
It's cold, guys. I'm actually in a car ride down close to you, Bruce, in Virginia. What's happening, guys? Happy Friday.
Well, Bruce is in North Carolina, and I bet it's a little colder.
It is right next to North Carolina. I mean, you know, I know that generations have lost their sense of geography, but I mean, Virginia's pretty close by.
Well, my brother-in-law
used
to
Super Bowl
to be right by Bruce. But now they're up to Virginia. But guys, real quick, Bruce, where do you rank the Daniel Bryan moment on Raw? Reed said maybe the best moment in Raw history. Dave Meltzer called it one of the best television moments in wrestling history. Where do you rank it?
Yeah, I've been waiting for this question. I rank it really high. I mean, Raw's been on the air for 20-some years, and, it's way up there because it was real without the tragedy. You know, the most intense Raws have been wrestlers who have died, and Chris Benoit's the news came out of what was happening, you know, pretty much in real time as they tried to deal with it. You know, Brian Pillman, the rest of that stuff, Eddie Guerrero, the rest of those things, which were intense, but there was much more positive, even with the news that he was going to have to end his career with this one. And there was a realness to it, and his performance and laying out what he did and how he handled it was way up there. So as far as the history of Raw, it was big. As far as professional wrestling, I mean, it's interesting that it's so hard in this era to get people to engage emotionally in professional wrestling stories, as they play out, as they're designed, that people don't take it as real. It's not as well manipulated. They're not pulled into it as well. And then there's the curtain has been pulled back, and that's part of it too. But this was the reality of what was going on and the emotion in it, and how he expressed himself really made this a pretty big deal, that it wasn't part of a culmination of an emotional storyline. Makes it different than a lot of great moments in professional wrestling, but it's one of them. And also, he just, you know, he's got it, you know, the guy has it, and that was a big part of it too. So I'm like everybody else, it was jaw-droppingly good. And even though I had a lot of faith in him to be able to perform in this way, this was unique and a big thing. And also, you know, you look at him, you look at Rock 2 weeks ago, these two guys that in different ways have that it factor. And then you look at the 3-hour Raw week to week and the people that are on the 3-hour week to week Raw, and that star power is hard to manufacture, and it's hard to, you know, it's, we're missing it in pro wrestling right now.
Well, Bruce, it's the truth. It was so genuine. That was the key thing, the genuine nature of the moment. And Trav, what you're saying too, to go from such a high point like that and then to suspend Titus O'Neil within 24 hours, to go from such a highlight.
Not even. It was Wednesday, I guess.
When you think about it, you know, Titus does more for charity work than anyone besides Cena for the company. And then he's suspended for some playful. It's insane.
I'm sorry, but the most average guy who doesn't do, you know, charity and might kind of be a jerk himself shouldn't get anything close to getting suspended for that.
No, exactly. It's crazy. Guys, my last thing is this. I'm coming out of the update from the press conference yesterday with financials. The big thing I saw to me from what Wade said was the 1,000 hours of content library from history that they're thinking of uploading
most
next year. And a 1,000 hours, and Wade said that's like 20 years of 1-hour program. Does that mean that it was successful, the last thing they did with the big hand, Thanksgiving time at the old WCW 605 shows and all that stuff? And do you think we'll see a lot more NWA-centric stuff or UWF? more highlighting your old wrestlers? What kind of things do you think they're going to put up there? I'll be listening, guys. Have a great President's Day weekend, and thanks as always.
Awesome.
Oh, that reminds me, Travis. I need to wish you a happy Valentine's Day.
So the lady at my job, like the main, like the only secretary lady, she's like, if I, you know, I'm leaving. She's like, if I don't see you again, happy Valentine's Day. I was like, thanks. Like, is that something people do? Happy Valentine's Day?
Where's the romance in your soul, Travis? I mean, I know you're from Philadelphia. You guys have no soul, but I mean, it's like what
around saying. Happy Valentine's Day, like Happy New Year or Merry Christmas or you know, something like that. Like you don't go saying Happy President's Day. It's just
that's
weird
just
that. Not that
seriously, that's just
stuff.
Awful. You're awful.
Nice sentiment. Like, hey, have a Happy President's Day weekend. But you don't say in a greeting or some kind of salutation or pleasantry, hey, Happy President's Day, Happy Valentine's Day. Like, okay.
God almighty, someone's trying to say something nice to you as you leave for the weekend. Happy Valentine's Day, and you turn it into that?
Weekend. That's what she normally says. Happy what?
It's Valentine's Day this weekend.
It's not a thing. It's not, oh, come on. Maybe we hate Valentine's Day because it shows like, all of the aisles and stuff and the CVS and all that kind of stuff with the candy and junk. And then the whole insecurity stuff that it brings out in people. People hate Valentine's Day. And now it's something we're saying now, like we're going to pretend it's a...
Now you're talking about insecurity, so if I start talking about chocolate-covered strawberries, I might start to cry again like I did the first time I talked about it in this show. So, but you're an awful person. I just want to like point that out. I mean, that's it. Good night. All right, let's roll on. Next caller. Appreciate folks calling in. As advertised, Darrell from Georgia. Welcome back to the PW Torch Livecast.
How you doing, Bruce? How you doing, Trav? Happy Valentine's Day.
Shut up.
That was well played.
But anyway, I like the conversation that y'all had in the beginning about Daniel Bryan and everything and the Titus O'Neil. I'm just waiting for this week to be over so we can move past it because I hate giving WWE props about anything in 9 days because they misuse it. But to go on, hopefully in a week we can start talking about TakeOver Dallas. And I want to ask y'all, how did y'all think about the ending of NXT with Asuka coming out there brushing the title, and if those two ever face, do y'all think that could be a match of the year candidate? That's my first question.
Asuka face who? Bayley? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Asuka versus Bayley. Yeah.
Right. That's what. Isn't that what we're going to get? Isn't that the title match for
I don't
Dallas?
Know. It's a little far down the line to be saying.
Right. I guess.
Yeah, so, you know, after next week, we maybe can stop doing that and it won't be spoilers anymore.
Yeah, I guess
so,
that's my bad. I mean.
Yeah, how dare you, Travis? Didn't like that. I don't blame you. That was kind of nervy of me, so.
But, no, that could be. I mean, as far as can it be a match of the year, like, sure, it can be. But it also could be, you know, such a style clash, and you know that kind of thing. Like, this match wasn't as good as we all thought it would be for whatever reason. But yes, it has the potential for sure to be.
Well, I think it's also important, and I think it could take Bayley to another level. And Bayley, there's still a lot of people that see, you know, that see big potential in Bayley as a big star, as a game changing star for WWE. I talked to former WCW great announcer, former WCW announcer Mark Madden this week, and he went to the NXT show in Pittsburgh last weekend. And you know, you can add him to that list of people that were just like, she's a star. Like you can really do something with her. And so that's you know, I think that
yeah,
having this type
she's
of
the female Daniel Bryan and has that potential to capture that audience.
Yeah. And
I mean, all of it. The women or the kid. I mean, all that whole that everybody that likes Daniel Bryan, there's a potential for them to like Bayley. She has that same kind of thing about her.
Yeah, there's and there's, you know, so there's a chance she's at where she's at now, which is a great place to be in NXT, and then this could take her one more step up, that type of match. Will it be a match of the year? I think it'll be damn good. We'll see about that. I mean, I think, you know, and you hope that part of with Asuka is that she takes what she brings to it and adjusts, and they adjust to her, and it's not that styles clash, but it could be. That does happen. That's a point, Travis.
Yeah, I mean, Asuka hasn't, as good as she's been and as decent and as she's been booked, I don't think anybody's been, like, blown away by a particular match or how she works in the ring. It's still, like, different enough where it's like, I don't know really how to interpret this.
Yeah.
So they have to do they'd have to do something really special at TakeOver, but they definitely have the potential to do it. We've seen both of them, or if you haven't seen Asuka like in action in her element, do it. You know.
Yeah. Well, Darrell, appreciate the call. We'd definitely get the calls. And I also just appreciate our regular callers like Darrell, but everybody, you know, pitching in to make this show much better. So that's pretty cool. Another one of our regulars, and we're going to hit some calls. So another one of our regulars, Colin from New Jersey. Colin, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Thanks, Bruce. Hey, Travis, how are you guys this week?
What's up, man? What's on your mind?
Not much. I have a little bit of insight on Titus O'Neil before I get to my question here.
Well, don't y'all go way back? So, yeah, what's the insight?
As you just mentioned, Travis, I did have the opportunity to be around Titus O'Neil for a couple of hours about 4 years ago, and got to have dinner with him after a SmackDown taping, along with Keith Slater and a few other current and former roster members. And I can add that not only are Titus O'Neil and Batista best friends, but they also live next door to each other, and Batista was actually the one that convinced Titus O'Neil to get into the wrestling business a week after she quit playing arena football.
Cool.
That is insight.
They were neighbors. Wow. Obviously, when Batista wasn't on the, like, probably the big side of the neighborhood.
Okay. So,
I mean, I don't think they're neighbors now, right? This was a few years ago. So anyway, yeah. So what's your question this week, Kyle?
My question for this week concerns WWE revenue after, well, more Vince McMahon's overall attitude about the company. With WWE Network subscriptions dropping by a meager 16,000 subscriptions, but revenue up 60% overall, according to Variety, is Vince McMahon right in the direction that he is taking WWE in right now? Or do you think things will continue to head into a downward spiral?
That's interesting. I haven't seen the Variety piece. I'll be honest, and I don't see where anyone can interpret those figures as a 60% increase in revenue. But I think that is, you know, I think they have a solid foundation. I think that I think that they almost have recouped what they lost with going into the WWE Network, they lost on the pay-per-view side. Yeah,
they lost. Okay. They lost the one. So it's not. So if they went up 25%, well, if they were down 35% the year before, are they measuring it from? Well, that's just that's a, like Wade always talks about. Well, the factory was built and was actually like pumping out cogs and whatever and product. You're not paying to build a factory this year. Now your factory's doing what it's supposed to do, then some for why you bought it or built it. So that's the only way I could see how those numbers come out to any kind of 60% increase in revenue. And even still, it's like that's wonky kind of math, or not wonky math, but I'm not sure if that's like how you do that. I'm not an expert.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
is he on the right track? Well, ratings are eroding, and they talked about, ratings have changed, and the USA is down, so we should be down too, or whatever that is. And I think that's I don't know that I agree with that at all. But they are starting to get back through the network the money that they lost when they started the network and priced their pay per views at a much lower price than they were getting on cable television or ordering it through pay per view. So that's there. They've got a solid foundation where spiraling downward. I don't know if that's it, but they're not growing
again. Another
overstatement. So it's just how everything kind of gets through. But the network, the streaming is working. It's not a failure, and you would think it would continue to grow, and that puts them in a better situation all the time. I mean, that's part of it. And Wade and I will again talk about this, I'm sure, in more depth on the VIP side on the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. So let's go to 201. 201, you're next on the PWT podcast.
What's up, guys? Eric from Los Angeles. What's up, man? In regards to the Mr. McMahon thing, that was an absolute joke to me. McMahon's the kind of guy who trips over his own feet walking down the street, and when people laugh at him instead of just laughing at himself, he blames it on a crack on the sidewalk. I just thought that whole thing was a joke.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
And in regards, you guys briefly brought up Bayley being a great kind of Daniel Bryan-like babyface. I actually was always thinking that would kind of be a great spot for Sami Zayn, because I just see him as the quirky, lovable guy who there's no way you can hate him. And he's got the same kind of in-ring prowess as Bryan, so I really think he's going to do fantastic once they get him up onto the main roster for good.
Yeah, it's the fine line, though, between, just don't try. Like, Bryan, that was his whole thing. Like, he didn't try to be. Not that Zayn or Bayley would, but I mean, the company. Like, okay, we're going to, because you know how it is. They go from, hating the thing to, okay, now we want to completely control it and it's ours and we're going to do it how we want it. And you can just see it, like, oh, why are you taking something we really, really enjoy in this really cool, organic way, and now that the light bulb went off, instead of just leaving it alone, you want to put your fingerprints all over it. So hopefully we don't get that again. See if we get some lessons learned. But yeah, Zayn definitely fills that void for sure. And if you can get him halfway as over as Bryan was, man, that's all you can really ask for.
That's true, and it shows that possibility of the baby face that you can relate to because you like him and you root for him. That's still something important in professional wrestling. Yes, Sami Zayn could be that type for WWE. We'll see when he hits the main roster. I think he's going to hit the main roster after WrestleMania. So that's or maybe even before WrestleMania if he wrestles if he fights Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and then lastly, if you guys can touch on Matt Hardy over in TNA, because
this heel run's been amazing, man. There's just absolutely nothing likable about him. I really think he's doing a tremendous job as a wrestler. I always kind of saw as a mediocre talker, solid in-ring performer. He's just seemingly stepped his game up.
Yeah, totally. I'm right there with you. The problem is it's now TNA kind of has the reverse problem of what they've always had. Like, now they have somebody that's at the top that's super interesting and has a really good gimmick and character and seems to know what he's doing, but everything else around it sucks. Like, I'm trying to stay... Like, it used to be the opposite. Like, oh, it was the main event was typically crap or this kind of wannabe WWE light stuff, you know, for all those years with Jared and then your main event Mafia and all that garbage. And even, you know, even your Bubba Dudley stuff, even that, it's just, you know, kind of, you know, retread stuff. It was never TNA's main event guy. Well, Jeff, sort of. He just was terrible in so many other ways. But now they have the opposite problem, where the main event is very interesting. I think they have some decent contenders, some people lined up for Matt, you know, for the next, you know, 6 months or so. But everything else around it, yeah, the Dollhouse, I tried to really get into them. I really like them, but they're just so terrible in the ring. It's hard to look past that. Like, yeah, you might have, you know, blue hair and tattoos and cosplay look, but that's, you know, that drew me in, but... You know, just athletically and in the ring, it's they don't have it. Now Kong's gone, and she didn't have it, or at least anymore. You know, Eli Drake and those guys. Oh, Bram and what's his, Eric Young together kind of works for me. And they had a backstage thing where they're talking about what they were going to do, that really had me into them. But I'm not a fan of TNA's in-ring stuff these first 5 weeks. Like, I don't remember any matches, really, that I cared about. And though Angle Galloway, this, right? Drew Galloway. Yeah, the second one, last night, or Tuesday nights. That was fun. That was good. But their first one was not five stars. But neither was the Tuesday one, but it was still better. So... But their in-ring product, up and down, in-ring, up and down the card, is not been impressive at all.
Appreciate the call. Like I said, we're gonna hit a whole bunch of folks. So we're gonna roll through some calls. Next up is our friend Boris from Chicago. Boris, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I was
you're not
Boris. Boris from Chicago.
Oh, Boris. You didn't sound like Boris. Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead. You didn't sound like it to me. But anyway.
As we was talking, I was just thinking about when Punk left, AJ followed. So now when Daniel Bryan retired, I know it's not major, but we'll probably lose both the Bella Twins, right? Because if she can't wrestle no more, Bree and Nikki, they gone too. So we just, it's like they're going in twos. Like Daniel Bryan leaves, he takes Bree with her.
That sucks, especially for Nikki with her, you know, physical, her neck and everything. But who's, are you going to miss the Bellas?
No, I'm just saying it open.
No, that's not what I understand.
The pairing, you know.
So what?
I'm just bringing up something.
Shut the fuck up, Boris. What the fuck you talking about? Wait, damn.
Whoa.
What was that?
Wow.
I apologize for that. I don't know what that was. I think I inadvertently left someone's line open. I that's my fault. I don't know. Boris, I apologize to you for that. I don't think that was warranted at all. So I don't know where that came from. So
I mean, I understand the sentiment, but I would express it that way. But yeah, no, I forgot kind of what we were talking about. But yeah.
That's what I have.
I'm done. That was awesome, Boris. I do want, you know, I do think that Brie is going to follow Dana Bryan. But if you see what they're doing on television, they're setting up Nikki as this courageous babyface who comes back to regain what's hers. And it might be, you know, it might be her other, her spouse, her other half, her boyfriend, you know, making sure that she's happy. I don't think we're seeing her. I don't think she's leaving the stage anytime soon. And I think that's going to become an issue. You know, as my understanding is time goes on. So, anyway, 301, you're up next on the PW Toys Livecast.
Hey, it's Joey from Washington, D.C. My fault. I wasn't supposed to be heard. My bad, boys. I'm just saying. Nobody care about them. But anyway, man, back to the real. Vince McMahon, a fraud. Let me just put it out there, man. Let me tell you something.
Titus is your man.
He ain't mean none of that stuff he was doing. All that yes chanting on the stage, all that. Vince ain't want to do none of that. I'm going to tell you right now. Now that you revealed to me that he grabbed a man, he was just trying to make sure that Stephanie went walk before him, and he went off on Titus. He already was beefing the whole time. He didn't even want to be out there doing it in the first place. Vince McMahon is a fraud, young. I just need to call that dude out for what he is. He's a fraudulent dude. You know what I mean? That's all that need to be said about him. And I hope that main event bomb like no other main event has ever bombed at WrestleMania. And I hope it does.
At WrestleMania,
Yes, I really do. I hope they boo them out the building.
It's going to be embarrassing. I don't know if I'm praying for it. I don't know. I'll be there, so it'll be interesting either way. There's that frustration, that anger. It's like it's the fact that the backlash that they got on social media. Like I stand with Titus. Are they about to seriously? They're about to. What does the crowd do on Monday? Do they got to do their smarty pants? Okay, Titus, we want Titus O'Neil. However they want, you know, their chance. But he's not. He's still Titus O'Neil.
What do you mean by he's still tied? He's still tied to O'Neal. What do you mean by that?
He should be getting chanted like he's some main eventer. Like, this is not a Daniel Bryan situation. So what? You want them to push Titus O'Neal more? Like, no. It's just they got it now because it's a cause, an understandable one. But, you know, they're going to be they're about to turn this guy possibly. Depends how this plays out and if that buffer is a weak enough by Monday night it dies off. Interested to know what town they're in. Wonder if that'll have any, that'll play a role. So, I mean, yeah, they just made this so much worse than it would have been if you don't react like an instinctual, just a big bully baby, you know, immediately turn, shove the guy. Did he think it was a fan? Like, no, you're on the stage. It's one of your guys.
Yeah.
Didn't get hit with a stunner or anything. Come on.
All right, let's move to Mike from Brooklyn. Mike, welcome back to the PW Torch Livecast.
Thank you, guys. What's up, Travis? What's up, Whoops?
You.
What's going on? Just wanted to get y'all talking enough about Titus. Y'all doing it justice. I wanted to, you know, shift towards SmackDown, you know, and get your thoughts on a Jericho AJ 2 match.
I haven't seen it.
I thought that I was disappointed that Jericho won the match. I thought the even Steven booking, the 50-50 booking. You all right?
No, I'm.
Are you scoffing at me?
I didn't see the match. I didn't know AJ lost. That's a bunch of garbage.
Now you know what, bud. You know what? You got me last week. I only had to apologize like four times. You made me apologize twice. Then I got to go through that nonsense with Wade Keller, but at least I got to say that, you know, after 25 years, I finally made a mistake, and so I was, you know, I needed to, like, apologize for it. And it stands out when you're wrong for the first time in 25 years. But this time, I'm not wrong. That's already been on the air, Travis. Just the fact that you didn't watch it doesn't mean it's a spoiler. It's already there. I'm sorry. It's already happened in the universe because it's been on television.
I'm not good. Mad that not, you, well, I'm just reacting that he lost. I didn't know he lost. I'm not mad that you told me or Mike told me he lost. I'm just reacting that he lost. I didn't know that. What a bunch of garbage.
So, yeah, I think that I think the way you play that is pretty obvious, which is AJ Styles wins the first match, AJ Styles wins the second match, and then and then Chris Jericho goes off. And that's where you, and then you start your feud. Huh?
And I'm just getting told on Twitter it was a co-breaker clean. Like, no notion. Like, Jericho's kind of, you know, sort of healing it up a little bit. He didn't even yank on the tights or something. That's a, what a load of crap. Like, how's he supposed to have any momentum going into, so is Jericho going to be counted on for WrestleMania?
Need
a high-profile acquisition?
So. I don't know
3 months before your biggest show ever and your biggest arena ever?
Yeah.
Why would you damage the guy that a guy that you're counting on to help you fill that building?
That's how they book. And you know, I can see the argument is that Jericho's established and you split the matches and it shows that he's even with Jericho somehow. But it really does.
Someone screenshotted a tweet. I didn't get it. It was Jericho saying, and I kind of agreed with him. Like, yeah, whoever's saying it. He said, if I beat young talent, I'm with young talent, quote unquote. Those are my quotes. If I beat a young talent, I'm burying them. If I lose, I'm a jobber. Get a life. He's probably responding to somebody. He's like, yeah, man, you're holding people back, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know, whatever. I can imagine. So I get that now. But still, it's not that. It's just Jericho at this point. AJ Styles with all this momentum, but with some momentum coming, with the big signing and the splashy debut at the Rumble. Why would you do that? Back to that.
Well, I mean, my objection is not to Chris Jericho winning a match over AJ Styles at the right time. I think that, like I said, I think that, you know, the veteran has the match. And, you know, and shows sportsmanship and loses. And then the second time he's frustrated. And then you go to a feud. You know, he loses the second time. Then you've really established AJ Styles with a real veteran that's credible in Jericho. And then Jericho heals it up big time against Styles. And then you're off to the races. And Jericho can then win. They can then cheat and win. And you've got some emotion. And that's where I think the even Steven booking just evens everything out. And that's not what you want. Someone needs to elevate. Someone needs to go down a little bit, and then the conflict, you know, the conflict goes through that. So, Jason from Australia, welcome back to the PW Torch Livecast.
What I want to focus on was Scott Sandell. I mean, I want to just quickly echo what everyone else says. I mean, I think the whole thing is a complete joke. You know, every time I look at Titus, I just see a license to print money. I mean, I think that could be doing so much with this guy. And, you know, I've heard him say in interviews some of that.
Jason, we're kind of losing you again. I'm going to go ahead and get to the end of the show. So we're going to take what you talked about with Titus, that they could do more with Titus in WWE.
There was a point in time, Bruce, where, you know, where they could have done something with Titus. But that time passed. That time's not now. As far as, like, a somewhat top of the, you know, bottom of the main event kind of run, you know, it was not going to be, don't shoot him to the top or anything like that. But he could have been a legitimate contender for a world title, to be in the mix or to be something more than, you know, tag team, not even comedy act. They don't do funny stuff. So it's just a, you know, kind of just a low card tag act that wasn't really over.
You know, there's a lot of guys like this in WWE where, you know, you're trying to move up the ladder, you're trying to improve your game, but you're on television every week on a 3-hour show, and you get slotted into a position where you're a mid-card guy, and that's where he is. I mean, he's got a very good look, he can talk, but he can't, you know, he's been typecast, and then he's just not at the level in the ring. That people are used to, and they don't protect him or don't, you know, that I don't know they should, but I always thought, you know, in the last year or two, that if they could figure out a way or even know to do this, but that when he started trying to, that he started tapping into his background in HBCU, that's something that could make a performer unique, and that also could bring in, you know, I've talked about this. I'm here in Greensboro, in North Carolina, University. I've seen that power. I've seen that kind of power. So,
wasn't he a Florida Gator, Bruce?
Yeah, but then he is a Florida Gator. Isn't that part? I mean, but, okay.
No.
But I'm an idiot.
You're talking about the fraternity stuff, the Q.
Fraternity stuff, yeah. Okay, excuse me. I am. The hoorah and all that. So, yeah. So, yeah. I've seen that, too. I mean, I've definitely, and that's where I've seen it. So, I guess that's where I got a little mixed up or a little confused. But, you know, but I think also that the dad of the year stuff and the appearances that he makes outside the ring have a value to WWE. I think he's a valuable person for them in the sense of publicly traded company and, you know, all that they could really, you know, that they still do that. And it's just, I'm with everybody. This just seems to me like something that could have been handled backstage in a way that, you know, isn't taking 2 months off, a guy taking 2 months off or 90 days off or almost getting fired or whatever it is that you just, that, you know, it's a, I hate saying this, but it's kind of a corporate teachable moment or something. It's just like, okay, you know, you did something, we understand what you did, and there was no malice in it, but, you know, this
now,
is the 70-year-old CEO.
They're going to hate him even more. Like, because it became a big deal, like it was his fault. Like, you guys.
No, it can't be Vince. We've already talked about the McMahons. It can't be the McMahon.
And then suspended him.
You want to blame Vince McMahon? It can't be Vince McMahon's fault. He brings you this entire universe. The McMahons are judged on a different standard. I mean, it's just, you know, it's Greek mythology. You know, we're the mortals and they're not. I mean, that's, you know, you want to blame Vince McMahon? I mean, Titus O'Neil?
He's a jackass that eats his own kids and that's eventually going to, you know, come back and, that's not a perfect analogy, but whatever.
Titus O'Neil made Vince McMahon, he made Mr. McMahon shove him. I mean, he's the one that made him do that. And if he had not grabbed him by the arm to let Stephanie McMahon go by, if that's the reason why he did it. But if he had not grabbed his arm, he did grab his arm, then none of this would have happened. This man would not have shoved him on the camera. Yeah.
Well, if Daniel Bryan hadn't gotten his bunch of concussions, really, it's his fault. Because he wouldn't have been retired. Retiring. They wouldn't have been gathered on that stage to even put Titus O'Neil in that position after the show. Our cameras are still rolling to be caught on some supplemental, barely seen, maybe not barely seen, it's taken away from Brian, but, you know, not massively seen segment that they now have edited out because they're big babies. Like, leave that in. What are you doing? So Brian really is blame.
I like how you're extrapolating this. I think that you're onto something. I think that, you know, I think that where the blame, you know, I think that where the blame lies is and does lie.
Really, the WWE Universe's fault, because if they didn't get Daniel Bryan over in the first place, egging him on to do these moves to end up getting. All right, enough.
Well, you know, Roman Reigns would be over, you know, if it wasn't for that. So, I mean, this has caused a lot. This is another in a long line of problems that Daniel Bryan has caused by being good at what he does. Travis, appreciate the particularly the last part of this, but appreciate the co-hosting and appreciate the contributions. Great callers. I really enjoying this Friday show. Well, some of them. Boys from Chicago is caller of the week, though. That was And again, that was my fault. I mean, that, you know, someone off the air was on the air.
Nobody blames anybody but you.
You know, that was unnecessary. I'm trying to do the humble stuff, and you're like screwing me up. So, well, thank everybody for listening. First part of the Bruce Mitchell audio show with Wade Keller, I would imagine, is already up or should be up shortly. And if you downloaded it, download this show, hopefully you downloaded that show, pwtorch.com/govip, and we'll have the second hour up. Again, happy Valentine's Day, Travis.